The Pat Kenny Show
with Timber Living Log Cabins.
Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. on News Talk. Conversation that counts.
Well, now it's time for our weekly chat with Professor Luke O'Neill, Professor of Biochemistry in the School of Biochemistry and Immunology at Trinity College in Dublin. Good morning, Luke.
Good morning, Pat.
It's been a very good week for new drug therapies, and we'll talk about one that's brain-related. But first of all, those cancer-related vaccines they've been talking about, how significant are they?
Yeah, big news, Pat, all over the media. A lot of excitement. Moderna, who you may remember from the pandemic days, with their RNA vaccine. They have a vaccine for melanoma. And they announced top-line results really working in melanoma. The big effect, Pat, was it stops recurrence. So often you get cancer and it might come back. The vaccine stops it coming back. And they made this big announcement. Their share price went through the roof. You know, it was a huge optimism. This may be a way to stop cancer recurring. And not just melanoma, Pat. They're talking about other types of cancer as well. So it's seen as a real advance.
Yeah. Is this personalized medicine in the sense that a particular vaccine has got to be developed for each individual?
Yeah, very much so. That was the trick, really. They took each cancer patient, figured out what was wrong in each individual cancer patient, the mutations, designed the vaccine to go after those mutants in that particular patient. That's the main reason why it works so well, we think, because it's really targeting your tumor as opposed to someone else's one. You know, so it is very much personalized, and that could be the reason for its success.
And does that make it expensive?
That's a huge question. It's a hugely elaborate process. You go to the hospital, they take a tumor sample, they sequence the DNA, they figure out the bits that are wrong, and then they make an RNA vaccine based on that. So it's a multi-step process, of course. But the fact that it's working so well must mean that this will become commonly used down the line. But the price will be the next question, of course, and they'll be able to afford it.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, the last bit, making the actual vaccine, thanks to COVID and all the rest, that bit will probably be the simplest bit.
Yeah, and there's no doubt, Pat, this is the COVID dividend because they're using the exact same RNA technology that was used to fight the virus. The exact same approach is now being used to fight cancer. That was always the dream, by the way, that the RNA could be used for cancer. And now Moderna are leading the world, as they did with the vaccine, of course, they're leading the world, the RNA vaccines for cancer.
So, Luke, the second big development this week is to do with things called orexins in the brain and a drug called ovipralrexton.
Yeah, all over the headlines again, Pat, this week. It's funny how these things often come at the same time. But this is a brand new drug, affects the brain. They're calling it Ozempic for the brain, if you can believe it. And as you may know, Ozempic works for obesity. It works for diabetes. This drug might help your brain. And, Pat, it was approved for narcolepsy, which is a condition whereby you suddenly fall asleep. And a big trial was done. And if you give people this drug, they don't get narcolepsy anymore because it stimulates the brain. It's seen as a bit of a breakthrough, really, for that disease.
So these orexins, they keep you awake if you have them, and if you don't have them, you fall asleep.
You fall asleep, exactly, yeah, and it's very strange disease, narcolepsy. It's very rare, very problematic. People suddenly fall asleep, and they realise it was a deficiency in this natural thing called orexin. And, of course, drug companies went, oh, if we replace it now, we could probably keep people awake. A big clinical trial was done, 90 patients with the disease, and lo and behold, it stopped the narcolepsy, and then the FDA approved it based on that. But, of course, it's also about things like alertness and brain function, and there's big excitement about it for many, many uses, really.
I believe that years ago, I think it was maybe 3 decades ago when these things were first discovered, that there were dogs involved in the trial because there are some breeds that can have a hereditary condition of just in the middle of playing, they can just fall down asleep.
That was some of the evidence originally, Pat. So the Dobermans of all breeds, Dobermans have narcolepsy. And they began studying why, and they discovered orexins actually in the Doberman, and that was the start of all this. And they realized that a Doberman can't make enough orexin and then goes into a sleep state. And then they look at humans next. And so the work in the dogs inspired them to look in humans. And lo and behold, the same pathway is conserved in humans. And humans will get narcolepsy just like Dobermans. And of course, the first trial then was done in the Doberman. They treated Dobermans with the orexins, and again, it stopped the narcolepsy. So it's very useful, you know, that these certain animals can benefit humans then from this kind of research.
And I believe they were working on rats, and giving the rats this stuff made them eat more. And that gives us where the name came from.
Yeah, that was the strange thing. The first thing they noticed in animals was orexin increases your appetite. Now, they reckon that's because they're more alert, is the explanation, by the way, finally, for this. The rats are awake for longer.
You can't eat when you're asleep, after all, yeah?
You can't eat when you're asleep, exactly. Yeah. And the word, they called it orexin because that means to eat, you know? And then they find, oh, hang on a minute, it's not about eating at all. It's about keeping the rats alert. They gave it to mice. They tried various animals and every one of them was kept more alert if you inject orexin into them. And Pat, it's very important to remember this is a natural hormone, a natural neurotransmitter. So therefore, that made it more possible then to be a therapeutic. It's a natural part of our body. And then for some reason, narcoleptics can't make enough and therefore you replace it. And now the narcoleptics don't fall asleep.
Now, there's a particular challenge in getting this stuff to the brain. There's something called the blood-brain barrier. And therefore, you have to design a drug that can get through that. And that is, in fact, designed to keep bad stuff out. So you've got to find a way through.
Yeah, it wasn't easy. So the first attempts failed and they were giving it to animals and it wasn't really working. And they realized that if you inject it, it's made in the brain, naturally it's made in the brain. If you give it to the circulation, it's got to penetrate the brain and that didn't really work, you know. So next then the chemists get involved, they modify it. They know what to do to get things into the brain, basically made some modifications. And then the drug that eventually emerged was able to cross the blood-brain barrier. And Takeda was the Japanese drug company who could crack this and could make a version now that you inject it into your blood and never gets into your brain. And in the case of narcolepsy, keeps you awake.
Now, I remember when you and I started to talk about Ozempic, first of all, we were looking at the treatment of type 2 diabetes, about weight loss. And then it turned out there were loads of other effects that were being reported by people who were using Ozempic long term. Is there a hope that this particular set of drugs might do the same for the brain?
You've got it, Pat. That's where the excitement is. It's a bit like science fiction. I think there was a movie once about this where the chemicals get people to concentrate more, you know. It turns out it helps you stay awake. It also keeps you more alert and allows you to focus, draw your attention to something, you know, whatever it might be, concentrate, and improves concentration. Now, you can imagine, Pat, if that continues to pan out with every student cramming for the leaving cert or whatever. They might take a shot of orexin to improve their concentration. And again, there's evidence that this can actually do that, you know, possibly in a safe way. So what they're talking about now is expanding it out beyond just not falling asleep into things like paying attention, concentrating, you know, staying awake in a really vivid way, you might call it, you know, and improving brain function that way. And again, the parallel, you're right, with Ozempic is remarkable because that's now being seen to use for things like addiction, beyond obesity, you know, effects on the heart and the kidneys. So the wonder now is, will orexins have these other properties that will actually benefit us for these various other things?
And I'm sure people, if it improves ADHD, for example, and people's concentration improves, and motivation and all things, they'd be looking maybe, could this help people with depression?
You've got it. And the Irish company, we must give an Irish company a shout out for Alkareems. They're in this business as well. They're making orexins. And they're very interested in ADHD because in some evidence, now again, not in humans yet, you can actually affect attention span by targeting this, you know. So Alkareems are saying there could be a usefulness here in ADHD. And then you're right, another possible antidepressant because again, if it's sort of regulating your thought processes, it's keeping you concentrating and so on, that might distract you a bit and then maybe provide relief for depression as well. So there's also talk of a thing, a new class of antidepressants. It really is seen, Pat, as a way to get the brain to behave itself, if you know what I mean, in all kinds of ways. That's what they're saying at the moment. It could go well beyond things like narcolepsy into other situations.
And as you say, because it's a naturally occurring substance in the brain, you know, it's not going to do you harm.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, yeah. And the last one, Pat, this specific topic, if you block it, right, you might think if you block it, you're going to fall asleep. Now, that can happen. They've shown some studies if you block it too much, it might make you feel a bit sleepy. But guess what? Blocking it might decrease addiction. So in other words, you're not obsessing and focusing on something as much as you were, because again, it's regulating the brain if you block it, you know. So again, they're talking about somehow dialing it down slightly to decrease attention on things, you know, and then maybe there'll be a use for addiction as well. And this approval by the FDA, Pat, means it's now available for testing in different diseases. Of course, it's safe, you know, and now there's all these other prospects are now sort of in people's sights.
What about sleep apnea finally, Luke?
Yeah, another one. Precisely, Pat, that could be another use here. Because if it does control sleep in various ways, you could easily see it being targeted now in the context of something like sleep apnea as well. I've looked at the fact that this morning, there's about 15 brain conditions now they're claiming this could be useful in if these tests continue. Now, it's early days, of course. A lot of it's experimental. We don't want to get too ahead of ourselves here. But the fact that the first disease has been approved in the case of narcolepsy kind of opens up the vista for many different diseases being treatable.
Very good. Luke O'Neill, Professor of Biochemistry at Trinity College in Dublin. Luke, thank you very much.
Thanks, Pat.
The Pat Kenny Show. on News Talk
with Timber Living Log Cabins.